She knew better than most exactly how dangerous such a thing would be for her, and it clearly terrified her, but she would try. "Then if I'm taken off the board, see Murphy," I said. "She knows everything I do about the case. Listen to her. She's smart, and you can trust her." "All right," she said. I tossed the mooring lines back on board. "Get a move on." I started walking down the dock. Behind me, Molly called, "Harry? What signal are you going to use?" "You'll know it," I called back. I left the docks in search of the tool that could rip apart this tangled web of suspicion, murder, and lies. I found it in the marina's parking lot. A payphone. Lara answered on the second ring. "Wraith?" "Dresden," I said. "What have you got for me?" "Oh, to have straight lines like that more often," she said, her tone wry. "What makes you think I have anything for you?"
"'Cause I've got something to trade."
"Men generally seem to think that way. Most of them tend to overestimate the value of their wares."
"Pheromone, lass," I said. "Can we have the rest of this conversation above the waistline?"
She let out that rich, throaty laugh of hers, and my hormones sounded the charge. I ignored them. Stupid hormones.
"Very well," she said. "It should interest you to know that the money deposited in Warden Morgan's account came from a dummy corporation called Windfall."
"Dummy organization?" I asked. "Who owns it?"
"I do," she said calmly.
I blinked. "Since you're sharing this information, I take it that it happened without your knowledge."
"You are quite correct," she said. "A Mr. Kevin Aramis is the corporation's manager. He's the only one, other than myself, with the authority to move that much money around."
I thought furiously. Whoever aced Lafortier hadn't just intended the council to implode. He, or they, had also gone to a lot of trouble to incite hostility with the White Court. Hell's bells. My imagination treated me to a prophetic nightmare. Morgan fights against the injustice of his frame. Hostilities erupt, creating strife between various factions of wizards. The council eventually runs down the money trail, discovers Lara on the other end, and the council seizes upon the opportunity to unify the factions again, thanks to a common enemy. Hostilities with the vampires start fresh. The Red Court sees the poorly coordinated council exposing itself in battle with the White Court and pounces, breaking the back of the council. And after that, it would all be over but the heroic last stands. Hell's bells indeed.
"We're being played against one another," I said. "That was my conclusion as well."
A couple more pieces clicked into place.
"Madeline," I said. "She got to this Aramis guy and coerced him into betraying you."
"Yes," Lara hissed. Barely suppressed, wholly inhuman rage filled her level, controlled voice. "When I catch up to her, I'm going to tear out her entrails with my bare hands."
Which took care of my hormone problem. I shivered. I'd seen Lara in action. I could never decide if it had been one of the most beautiful, terrifying things I'd ever seen, or if it was one of the most terrifying, beautiful things I'd ever seen.
"You might try looking at the Hotel Saxe, room 1233, I said. "If I'm right, you're going to find Mr. Aramis's body there. Madeline's working for someone, a man. She didn't say anything that would help identify him. You should also know that she has hired the services of a mercenary named Binder. Not exactly a rocket scientist, but smart enough to be dangerous."
Lara was silent for a second. Then she said, "How did you learn this?"
"Shockingly, with magic." I heard her speaking to someone in the room with her. Then she got back on the phone and said, "If Aramis is dead, Madeline has tied up the loose end in her plan. It will be impossible to provide credible evidence that I did not in fact pay for Lafortier's murder."
"Yeah, that's why she did it."
I heard her make a displeased sound, but it was still ladylike.
"What do we intend to do about this, Harry?" Do you have a nice dress? Pardon? I found myself grinning maniacally. I'm throwing a party.